Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Albert Drouart, Director International at Braintree. Albert, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
So you and I are going to have a chat about what merchants can do to grab their fair share of the global e-commerce windfall. And the insights that we're going to talk about are things that we uncovered in our work together in producing the Cross-Border Optimization Index, where we looked at 180 merchants in 10 countries. We examined 50 attributes to really understand the profile of merchants and how they are taking advantage or not of the cross-border opportunity that awaits. But focusing in on the U.S. for a minute, what are the set of assets, or in particular, one asset in your view, that really makes the frictionless cross-border experience possible for consumers when compared to others that aren't doing as well?
I think the maturity of the U.S. market and the attention, I think because of the maturity of the market overall, the businesses that start here and are functioning here have really focused in on linking a great experience and using their tools, whether it's their payment gateways or their processors and all their tools together to create and be very sensitive to the full checkout experience. So instead of trying many different things and many different experiences, I think U.S. merchants have really focused on doing a great funnel and a great conversion maximizing checkout experience, which actually then sets a foundation to transacting with others around the world. Once that foundation is established and you start to tweak it, there's a focus on really what's relevant, right? I think, again, mature market in the U.S., what is relevant to drive that higher conversion? And that ends up setting the stage for basically creating best-of-breed experiences with other consumers in other markets who have become trained by mobile, have become increasingly trained by big global e-commerce brands and brands in general to expect these types of good experiences, have been then trained by copycats in local markets mm-hmm. to say, yeah, I should be able to have a checkout experience that's not painful, that doesn't require many steps, that doesn't require a lot of choices in payment methods, that actually is relevant to what I'm doing. So to me, that baseline is there, and it can make and break a merchant in the U.S. So therefore, once they kind of have an advantage to, as they look across the world to say, or they have the assets in place to say, listen, I'm going to create a great experience that reduces friction, that has what's relevant, and allows my customers to actually purchase without getting lost. So that's what I think really it comes from overall.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the data shows that. I also personally agree with that. But you mentioned two things, and I want to zero in on those two things. So I mentioned we looked at 50 attributes. We grouped them into 15 categories. And when it came down to really statistically assessing what categories really drove a higher score, there were two. One of them was what you just pointed out, which is navigation. We'll get to that in a minute. But the other is payment acceptance. And I want to ask you for your take on what we discovered, because it's a little contrary to what we see and read a lot when it comes to cross-border payment success, which is you have to accept 120 different payment methods and local currencies.
Right.
And our data showed something very different. Why don't you elaborate on that and help us understand why you think that's a relevant finding?
Right. I think less is more, right, was one way to think about it.
Right.
So doing less payment methods better actually translates into more success for businesses, even when going beyond what are the traditional, you know, the U.S. market, for example. I think there's a number of mechanisms there. One is that a lot of times knowing even offline world, there are consumers traveling more than ever, right? And they are bringing their card or their preferred payment method as they visit the U.S. or Europe, and in many cases are paying just fine with some of the leading payment methods that are out there, right? Whether it's Visa, MasterCard, whether they're already using PayPal to buy something. Those are actual truths today, and if anything, those trends continue to grow. Mm-hmm. So I think one core anchor is, which we often lose sight of, you know, when I speak to businesses all the time, they imagine that their potential customers in any given market actually don't have the payment methods that are, you know, that they can use, which is really not the case. I think many of these payment networks and brands have actually been extremely successful in getting the right and growing following in many different local markets. So that's one element is, you know, less is more. Do those core payment methods, those top three that are in the study, and you will actually get much deeper than you might think. And an accompanying benefit to that is actually doing those three well actually translates into a lot more simplicity in how you serve your customers, mm-hmm. meaning you actually make it easier for them to come back. You make it easier for you as a business to serve them and support them as they have either a service or have an order open with you, meaning that the overall experience is actually better versus what is true of going and kind of throwing many, many payment methods up, where you end up being exposed to many different operational flows, many different refund flows, very many, you know, dispute flows. So I think it's really anchoring in less is more, because it doubles down both from an experience point of view. You can get the reach you want, and then your business can actually serve customers better.
So you did reference three. So that is the, you know, that is the finding that the three right. most commonly accepted payment types, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, certainly are accepted by a great majority, 94%-ish for both Visa and MasterCard, just about 80% for PayPal, commonly accepted by all merchants. We also make the point that know your market where you believe you will be getting buyers. Right. And so I think, you know, adding payment methods that make sense versus the laundry list of 100 is also something you suggest.
I mean, I have an example that I always use that, you know, usually gets people to sit up, which is like, you know, India as a market, massive market, right? Many different buyers, many different consumers, many different potential payment methods. But in reality, the top 200 million people who are affluent enough and who are well connected with mobile, with online buying, actually are carrying cards. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as the studies probably shows as well, in the travel sector, those customers are very happy buying, you know, with their Visa MasterCard, as an example, but they are also probably happy to spend their money through that same means on a cross-border transaction as well. And it doesn't mean you need to go deeper, right? You all of a sudden could grow reach in India with Visa MasterCard with some localization. You would be growing into a market that's already 200 million people deep, as opposed to what, of course, there's a billion people there, mm-hmm. and of course you can do more, but is that really your target customer, right? And as soon as you understand that, you may find that you can, you know, go deeper much more easily with a lot more return without the complexity.
Interesting. I mean, I think we looked at, when we looked at the 100 different payment types, we showed that diminishing returns after 10, which even sounds like a lot based on what you just said.
So the
second big area of difference in terms of statistically making the difference in a good score and a great score is navigation. And you mentioned ease of navigation, getting from homepage to checkout without friction. Lots of things go into that. We measured time spent on site, number of pages to clicks, obviously streamlining and simplifying checkout. What do you talk to your merchants about when it comes to navigation and helping them ease the friction as they look to improve their own conversions?
Yeah, I think we really, so I think using the right set of tools to minimize steps and you know, thinking of all the information you might already have about a customer, about tokenization, about vaulting, about saving customer information so mm-hmm. that repeat customers are taken care of. That's one big, huge concept for us mm-hmm. That we really try to facilitate because mobile is global. Right? Mm-hmm. Mobile in some ways has reached a level of maturity, and in many cases it is the device that people are using to browse even traditional e-commerce sites in many, many markets. So if you're gonna have a customer, make sure you store and keep that information and try and identify them as quickly as possible when they come back. So that's one thing that we emphasize a lot. And surprisingly, there's a lot of customers that, or a lot of merchants who are still, you know, who are still working on that evolution. But that can mean a huge improvement of experience and elimination of aggravation for people who are coming back once you've acquired them. For first-time customers, I think we emphasize trying to minimize the complexity and using the tools that are out there to create experiences that don't have many steps. Of course, the PayPal one touch is something that works great because you can actually reduce steps down into one or two clicks essentially. But also just using the UI elements we have or using the tools that we provide just from a payments point of view to make sure that you minimize asking for complex input when it's not really required is really, really important. And to your earlier point, I think making sure you're using the tools as well that are in localized for the buyers so that you're meeting them halfway, so that if they're used to entering dates a certain way, if they're used to seeing certain colors or certain configurations, that you're not tied in technically with a certain formatting, but that you have the flexibility to present things correctly and understand how they may be used to paying and meeting that. So not only is it number of steps, but it's also how those steps are presented in the sequence and making sure that you're not creating an entire new experience for them, but creating something that they're familiar with.
Albert, just as we think about wrapping here, are these things that merchants simply don't know they don't know, or are these things on the list that they'll get to but haven't yet, or they think is too complicated to attack? Do you have a sense of what's keeping merchants from really optimizing this phenomenal opportunity that awaits?
That's a great question. I think we're guilty of it a little bit in the payments industry, but it's also looking at this in a way purely as a payments problem. We start to focus on technology or regulation, or the complexity becomes almost attractive. When I think that the major emphasis should be, you know, who are those buyers? What countries are you targeting? Or what countries do you already have traffic in? And just putting yourself in those buyers' shoes, which mm-hmm. is really, you know, a European buyer is going to be used to buying in euro. The currency alone is really important. They're going to be used to certain date formats. They're going to be used to certain key kind of experience points. Understanding that is probably one of the most important things you can do, and then making sure that the rest of the experience plugs into that buyer understanding, that local feeling. Because as we say, you know, on my team, you know, what we consider cross-border in many ways is actually local mm-hmm. for the people that you're trying to transact with. And you have to kind of embody that. Once you do that, you'll find that the technology, you know, actually follows quite, you know, easily. It could mean just tweak the form fields, just move things around, just change a few things, and all of a sudden you have, you know, the difference between 1% conversion and 3, just because you've met customers there. So the complexity, we don't need to focus on the complexity. We can focus on getting started and really understanding who it is that your customers are and then implementing from there.
It sounds like your advice is even though this is the world, it doesn't have to be the world for each merchant. It's knowing the buyers and then attacking their problems segment by segment, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. There's amazing amounts of experience that I run into, you know, just moving the, you know, Visa MasterCard logo on a checkout form for Italian shoppers can mean the difference in conversion. You know, there's little things like that. And if you focus on those things, and most merchants probably have the data about where their shoppers are as an indicator. So taking that as a leading or as a trigger, saying, you know what, I have already 2% of my customers coming from this market. How could I, without changing anything else, right? How could I start to optimize this to meet them halfway, or even create an experience that they might like that can deliver? And then all of a sudden, you make that next investment. Can I add the currency? And then you can go around the world like that and focus, you know, buyer first rather than global being one big bucket.
Buyer first sounds like great advice. Albert, thank you so much for your time today and your great insights. It was a great conversation. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Karen.